believed God, you know, 25 years ago, before he had one son, and then you and I are sitting here tonight, born again Christian, because Abraham believed God. God didn't promise him one son. He promised as many sons as the stars of the sky and the sand in the sea. Amen. And so every time there's a person born again, that's a child that God promised Abraham. Isn't that amazing? Because he believed God that it's being fulfilled. Hallelujah. And so God said here, if you don't believe with your heart and say it with your mouth, you're never going to get it. You know, I've been trying to get people, when I pray for them for healing, to put their hands up and say, I thank you, Lord, I receive my healing. And they just walk back to their seat and say nothing. Hello? Why? Well, probably because they don't feel anything. They think they didn't receive anything, but that's not true. You know, there was a lady in Malaysia who had a daughter, 16 years old, was still in the fetus position, totally mental retarded. And they went up to Kuala Lumpur, and they heard an American preacher preach about the power of words. And so they went home, and the mother went down to the doctor's office the next day and got a picture of the human anatomy. And she put it in her daughter's bedroom and go in there every day, five times a day, and she start at the top of her head and just speak to every part of that body and tell it to come in line with the word of God and be healed. People walk up to her and says, how's your mental retarded daughter? She said, I don't have a mental retarded daughter. I have a daughter that's been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The pastor finally got upset with her and told her she had to stop that nonsense because it said it's obvious your daughter's not healed. And so they left the church and went home. I don't know where they got tapes from that American preacher or what they did, where they studied the Bible on their own. But anyway, the mother told me afterwards that for 18 months that child showed no physical change whatsoever. But then it started changing on the outside so she could see it. And I and my wife went to visit them when she was 18 years old and she was playing football in the backyard with her little brother. I don't know how many children I have prayed for with this that was mentally retarded or spastic. And I've told them to go speak the word to them. Don't speak what the doctor's saying. Speak what the word says. And they did it and the children are completely recovered. Hallelujah. Perfectly normal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's why I know this stuff is real, because I put it to practice. Now, how many of you know when you plant a seed, it's got a growing season? That's why the Bible said, when I read you that scripture in Hebrews, hold fast your confession of faith, for he is faithful who made the promise. You know, I don't care what you feel. Base your faith not on what you feel, but on what the Word says. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew 17. And let's read verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, let me ask you a question. If I had a seed here in my hand, and I wanted it to grow and produce me a crop, what would I do with it? What would I do with it? Plant it. Okay? So when I planted it, what did I do with it? What did I do with it when I planted it? No. No. I gave it a job to do. Isn't that right? To grow and produce me a crop. Isn't that right? He said, faith works the same way. Isn't that amazing? See, and that's why our faith isn't working, and because we're not given it any job to do. Huh? Isn't that amazing? You know, when you give your tithes and offerings, speak over it. Money's not seed. You're not sowing seed when you put money in an offering. If money was seed and it growed and produced more money, where would you spend it? It's got a serial number on it. What do the government do to people that spend money with the wrong serial number on it? They give them a permanent vacation in Crowbar Hotel with free room and board. Huh? Glory be to God. Isn't that amazing? And so God said here, if you give your faith a job to do, there's nothing impossible for you to do. Isn't that amazing? So that's what my brother-in-law is doing, giving his faith a job to do. You remember the lady who had the issue of blood? Bible says she heard about Jesus, and so she gave her faith a job to do. She said, I'm going to go to Jesus, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and when I do, I'm going to get healed. And one day she heard Jesus come into town, so she went down there and pressed through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment and got her healing. You know, I was going to Nepal to hold a meeting. And there was a man in Nepal. One kidney was completely gone. The other kidney was half gone. And they told him he was going to die because they couldn't find a kidney donor for him. And so he heard about me coming to Nepal. So he made a decision. He was going to come to my meeting. And when I prayed for him, God was going to heal him. So 3 days before I came to his church to preach, he fasted. And I got up here and I'm preaching, and all of a sudden I stopped and I said, the person with a kidney problem, get up and come down here. God's going to heal you now. So he got up and came down. I prayed for him. He went to the doctor the next morning, or the hospital the next morning for dialysis, and the doctor came out and said, you don't need dialysis. You got two perfect and good working kidneys. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. You got two good, perfectly good working kidneys. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've seen Jesus heal every kind of sickness and disease you can imagine. You know, I was in Russia, and a lady came up in a wheelchair, strapped in the wheelchair because she's missing 15 vertebrae in the bottom half of her spinal column. If you don't have vertebrae, you can't control your body. And so I prayed for her, a simple prayer. All I said was, Jesus, heal her. I didn't say anything else. I just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And so I walked on down the line praying, and I heard a noise, and I turned around and looked, and here's this lady unfastened her belts and grabbed this two guys standing next to her wheelchair and pulled herself over her feet and started walking. Oh, wow. God had put 15 vertebrae in the bottom half of her spinal column. In that same meeting, I pointed to a man in a wheelchair, and I said, sir, you're a pastor. I said, you've severed your spinal column in a coal mining accident 15 years ago. I said, God just healed you. Get out of that wheelchair and walk. And he climbed right up out of the wheelchair and took off. Hallelujah. I was taken to a cancer hospital. And we prayed for about 200 people. And they were all healed of cancer. The doctor and the nurse, when we got there, wasn't going to let us in there. But one of the guys that was with me knew the administrator of the hospital. So he went and talked to him. So they called him up and scolded him and told him. He said, look, you let them in there. If they can heal them, they said, we can't heal them. So let them in there. They said, I don't care if they're using white magic, black magic, or what they're using. He said, if they can get them healed, let them in. And so they let us in, and that doctor and nurse both got saved. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And they had seen them people get healed. I've emptied several hospitals out. In Fiji, I emptied the whole hospital out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The biggest church in Bangkok, or in Thailand, in Bangkok, started under my ministry. He took me to a hospital to pray for the cancer patients, and I prayed for 250 people that day, and they got healed. So he started his church with that 250 people. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was in Taiwan, and I got a phone call from a nurse, and she said, can you go to the hospital tomorrow and pray for this sick person? I said, yes, sir. So I got down and I prayed and I said, God, what's his problem? And so he showed me a vision, and I walked in this huge hospital ward with 78 beds, and turned straight over to my right to the first bed, and the guy was laying there with half his skull shattered, sticking through his brain like a pincushion. He'd fallen off a scaffolding 7 stories up on a building. Well, when I prayed for him, within 2 minutes, he's got a normal skull. So the next morning, they took me to the hospital, and I walked in, and immediately turned to the right, and here's this guy. And so I prayed for him, and he got up, and within 2 minutes, he's sitting up in bed talking to us. And so him and his family got on their knees and prayed and received Jesus. The nurse, there was 2 nurses working with me, so one nurse went around talking to the other patients. And so when I got done praying for this one, she said, that guy wants some. And so I went on and prayed for him, and he got saved. And we got everybody in the hospital healed, and that ward healed that day. The last person I prayed for is a little girl that scalded all the skin off her body. And I don't know how she done it, no oil or water or what she did. But I said to the mother, I said, can I pray for your daughter? And she said, we're Buddhist. I said, that's all right. Jesus loved Buddhists too. And she said, okay. And so I prayed, and the skin came back on her body, and she gave her heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I could tell you story after story. Hallelujah. Of the miracles that God has done. So God said here, he said, if you give your faith a job to do, then there's nothing impossible for you to do. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. So I like to challenge you today to give your faith a job to do, and that is to believe God for at least one soul this week. Hello?
Yeah.
At least one soul. You surely can got faith for that. Huh? And God, you can believe for that. And when you get that to work, believe him for 2. You get that to work, believe him for 3. Just keep increasing it, lifting those weights. Huh? 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. Huh? Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? And so you've got great faith. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's a faith problem, because it's not a faith problem. It's a believing problem. Hello? Because what you believe with your heart and say with your mouth is going to activate your faith. So that's why I've been trying to get you to come down here and say to me, Brother Howard, I believe when you pray for me, God's going to heal me. Huh? Because that way you activate your faith. Hallelujah. It's not my faith that's going to heal you. It's your faith. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? What you believe. And so if you believe you're sick, believe what the doctor told you. Then you see, and I know you believe what the doctor tells you because you do exactly what he tells you. If he tells you to take 3 pills a day, you take 3 pills a day. If he tells you to have an operation, you have an operation. Huh? But you won't believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, by his stripes you were healed. Now, go with me to Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now, can I ask you a question? Huh? What's your tree? What's the tree he's talking about here? Go to your Bible to Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So what's the tree? The tongue. Isn't that amazing? The tongue. So who's supposed to make that tree produce good fruit or corrupt fruit? We are, not God. Don't ask God to do it. Ask you to do it yourself. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, the first scripture God gave me, spoke to me audibly, was John 14, 12. And it was when I prayed for that blind man. This is the scripture he gave me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You know, there's a missionary in Mexico. His name is Paul Hogan. And I think he's been out to Australia. And him and his team have raised over 500 people from the dead. Hello? Verified. I mean, the people went down there and checked him out. And so that can happen right here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was in Sri Lanka, and they took me to the hospital to pray for a man dying of leukemia. And I walked in there, every pastor in Sri Lanka had been there to pray for him, and they couldn't get him healed. So they told the family it was God's will for him to die. They told the family to pray a prayer and release him to God. Only one problem, there is no such prayer in the Bible. Hello? There is no such prayer in the Bible. I've read through this Bible over 900 times. Hallelujah. And so I walked in there that day and I said, "Sir, Jesus Christ come to this room today to heal you." "Oh," he said, "I know God can do anything." I said, "Even the devil knows that." But I said, "It doesn't do him any good, and it certainly isn't doing you any good." I said, "Do you know what Jesus will do right here today?" "No." I said, "Well, pick that Bible up off your table there, and you open it up to Mark 11:23 and read it to me right out loud." So he picked it up and read it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I said, "Sir, for the last 9 months, every person that's come through that door in this room, you've talked to him about the leukemia. You've talked to God about the leukemia." I said, "Is that what the Bible said to do?" "No." I said, "What did the Bible say to do?" He said, "Say, leukemia, be thou plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea." I said, "Well, why didn't you do that?" He said, "I didn't even know that was in the Bible." I said, "Well, let's do it right now." And he said, "All right." So I laid my hands on him. I took authority over the leukemia. I told it to pluck itself up and cast itself in the sea, and he was healed instantly by the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, if that man would have died, those preachers would have got up here and said, "God did it." Well, God isn't in the killing business. He's in the life-giving business. You're not in the killing business. God didn't take your child at 40 or your husband at 40 or your wife at 40. Huh? What was the first promise ever given with a first commandment ever given that had a promise tied to it? Can you tell me? "Honor thy father and mother, so shall you live long on the earth." So what's God's will? To live long on the earth. Isn't that right? And several scriptures said, "The number of your days I will fulfill." You know, Psalms 90, where it says he gives you 70 years plus 10, is under the law. We're not under the law, we're under grace. The minimum under grace is 120 years. Genesis 6. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. That's why I'm a young man at 80. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not an old man, I'm a young man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so God is here tonight. Jesus is here tonight. The Holy Spirit's here tonight. All the fullness of the Godhead's in this place tonight. So there's no shortage of power here.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of you giving your faith a job to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been trying to get you to come down here and say, tell me what you believe. Mm. Not what you got. You don't need to tell me what your problem is. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't ask people, "What's your problem?" Huh? he did ask them what they believed. What do you believe for? The blind man. He said, I believe you, I can see. Jesus said, your sight's restored. Go. Hallelujah. You know, how many know tonight that power of God did not arrive at Lazarus' tomb when Jesus got there? God is omnipresent. So it was already there. But what was everybody believing for? That he was dead. That he stunk. He stinketh. Isn't that right? But Jesus walked up there and he believed that what God had said, because he said, I only say what my Father tell me to say, and I only do what he showed me to do. You know, key to revival is getting back, the leadership of the church is getting back to listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying him. That's the key to revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, they had the revival every day in this early church in Acts. Not just once in a great while. There's a church in America that's having revival every day. Hello? Everybody in that church is a minister. Even children down to 5 years old are prophesying, giving words of knowledge, laying hands on the sick and getting them healed. No spectators in that church except visitors. But every member of that church is involved in ministry. Pastor hardly does any of the ministry. See, that's my job is not to do the ministry. My job is to equip you to do the ministry. Hello? The day of the one man show is over. God wants everybody in the body of Christ to get involved in ministry. And the next revival will not come in church. It's going to come in the marketplace. It started in the marketplace. It's going to finish in the marketplace. Hello? It didn't start in church. It started in the marketplace. Hallelujah. And it's going to end in the marketplace. Hallelujah. There's already ministries in Singapore that are doing that, and in South Africa and different places are already doing that, ministering in the marketplace. Hallelujah. So every one of you, you're on your job. You're not on your job to earn money. Hello?
Yeah.
That's not what you're there for. You're a priest. You're a king and a priest. You're there as a priest to minister to people. Hallelujah. Every job I had when I got saved, I told them, I'm a preacher, and I'm going to be preaching everybody in this place, including you. And I said, if I'm in the most important job that this company could run, and the Holy Spirit says to me, stop and go down the street and preach to somebody, I said, I'm going to stop and go down and preach to somebody so you know what you're getting when you hire me. And so they never once turned me down for a job. And I ended up leading over half the people on that job to Jesus, including many times the boss. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so God is here today, and you've got the faith for a miracle. So if you need a miracle, then turn your faith loose. Use it. You've got strong faith. You've got the same kind of faith that God has. So it's not too weak. It just matters what you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so if there's any ladies here today who are married and can't get pregnant, I've been highly successful praying for women to get pregnant. I've prayed for over 100,000 women to get pregnant, and almost every last one of them I've prayed for has gotten pregnant. In fact, there was a lady at the meeting, at the house meeting at Mohini's, the first time I was here, first night I was in her house, that came down from, I think, Sydney to tell me that last year when I prayed for her, she got pregnant and she's going to have her baby in 2 weeks. And so she probably had it by now. Hallelujah. So the first lady I prayed for to have a baby had had everything cut out of her that she could have a baby with. The doctors told her impossible for her to get pregnant. And I prayed for her, and I saw a vision, and I saw three babies. I said, "Sweetheart, you're not going to have one child. You're going to have three of them." And I said, "They're not triplets, because I said they're all one on both sides of you and one in front of you. So if there's triplets, they'll all be on one side of you, but they're not. So it's three different births." The doctor who delivered those three babies, when she took the third baby in for its checkup, he said to her, "You know, if you'd have bought these babies to me and I hadn't delivered them," he said, "I'd call the police and have you arrested for kidnapping." He said, "It's medically impossible for you to have babies, but I delivered them, so what can I say?"
Yeah,
and that's our God. Nothing, no such thing is impossible with him. I don't care what the doctor told you. Hallelujah. I've been told 15 times in my lifetime I was going to die by the doctors. When I got saved, they only gave me 6 months to live, but they only missed it by 50 years. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's pray and close this meeting, and let's put our faith to work, give it a job to do. As I'm praying, you make a decision what you're going to believe for tonight. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. I come through that new and living way, the blood of Jesus, right into the holy presence of God. I thank you that I'm welcome in the throne room because you yourself have declared me righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. And your word says, Father, that your ears are open to hear the prayer of the righteous. And you said the prayer of a righteous man gets the job done. And you said in your word that if we prayed anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, then we can know we've received the petition that we petition you with. And you said in the word of God tonight, Father, that you sent your word and healed the sick. And so as we send your word tonight to the people that need healing, that they're going to receive their healing and they're going to receive their miracle, whatever it is they need. In the name of Jesus, and we give you the glory in Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, is there any ladies here tonight who can't have a baby and you'd like to have a baby? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes people are afraid to get up and come down for prayer. They come and ask me to pray privately for them afterwards, but it wouldn't do any good because you didn't obey the Holy Spirit. It's not a man that's talking to you, it's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here with a heart condition, you want to get healed? Get up and come. You know you're in good hands. Tonight you're going to receive your healing.
I do.
Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this heart, her blood pressure, and her cholesterol problem. And I speak to it in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to do a creative miracle. That take this old heart out of here and throw it in the trash can and put a brand new one in there that works and functions the way you created it to. I command her blood pressure to come down to normal and stay there. I command her cholesterol count to become normal and stay there.
Thank you.
And I thank you for healing her tonight and giving her a brand new heart in Jesus' name.